Well, let's pray. Lord, will you ever come? It was a cry of Micah's heart, and I think for many of us it is a cry of our heart. In the busyness and hecticness that is this season, in the midst of the joys and the sorrows and the blessings and the struggles, sometimes it's just hard to see you, Lord. And I do pray, as we are here this morning, as we are worshiping you, I pray that we would see you. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, and that we may experience your love, your grace, your joy. So fill our hearts with faith, Lord. Bless the reading and the teaching of your word for your sake and for your glory. Amen. Well, we're spending Advent in Micah, which has been great. I've been listening to a lot of the messages online, and it's really been a phenomenal way to kind of prepare our hearts, because each week Micah sort of asks a question that I think fits the flow of the season. Last week, Davis kind of led us in the discussion, well, what do we do while we're waiting? And led us in that great passage to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. This week, as we wrap up our time in Micah, we're wrestling with the question, is the Messiah ever going to show up? Is he ever going to come? And I think one of the things that this question gets at, which is an important question to say, but you might think is sort of counterintuitive to bring up in church, is simply this. That the question that Micah is asking and wrestling with in Micah chapter 7 is the fact that it is hard to believe. Do you ever struggle with that? Not necessarily talking about faith. I'm not talking about every aspect of faith. I'm just simply saying that there are times in life where life sort of has a way of squeezing you in, and you find yourself wrestling with God and Jesus and coming to the conclusion that it is hard to believe. Micah's problem was kind of rooted in two distinct things. On the one hand was the looming threat of the Assyrian nation that was kind of hanging over the nation of Israel like a giant hammer ready to pounce at any moment. And on the other side of the equation was sort of a shallow faith of the people, a faith that was used to manipulate and to bring injustice. Micah was, by every account, sort of a blue-collar guy. And he observed the injustice of the religious elite. And, you know, so you've got this external threat and this internal hypocrisy. And together it just sort of made it hard for Micah to believe. Our problem may be different. We don't wrestle with the Assyrian nation. But I would argue that we live in a secular age. We live in a day and a time where faith itself is really, it's hard to get your head around. As I was thinking of a simple way to say it, I kind of came up with this. You know, we live in a day and an age where if something goes wrong, you know, people say, yeah, you can pray. But really what matters is, what did the doctor say? Right? Now, I'm not knocking medicine or anything. I'm just saying we live in a day and age where faith seems so out there, and what seems so real and relevant is only what we can touch, only what we can quantify, only what we can measure. It is a secular age, and that secular age squeezes our faith and often makes us wrestle with, can we believe all this stuff? It is hard to believe. What's so fascinating as I reflected on the book of Micah this week is that even though Micah's issues were in some ways different, Micah was not in a secular age like we are, Micah discovered the key that I think we need to discover in our day and age. In a time where it is hard to believe, we would do well to do what Micah advises us to do, and that is to learn to wait in wonder. Waiting in wonder. In the midst of waiting, in the midst of longing for the Messiah to show up, in the midst of wishing for God to validate his plans and all of that stuff, we would do well to lift the lid on our condensed little worldview and learn to wonder. Learn to ponder. Learn to think deeply about who God is. And in particular, I think Micah asks two questions, one externally, one sort of intuitively, that I want us to just look at this morning. The first one is this: who is like our God? Who is like our God? It's interesting. That's actually, by some commentators, that's actually what the name Micah means, is who is like God. And Micah asks explicitly that question, and he says, he says, who is a God like you? In verse 17, who is a God like you? Why does he ask a question like that? Because he begins to ponder what it is that God is doing. See, what Micah discovers is in the midst of all of these struggles, in the midst of waiting and wondering if God is ever going to show up, he realizes that God is, in fact, doing something. And he was maybe just missing it. In the struggle with the external threats and the hypocrisy of the leadership, Micah found himself missing what God was doing. And what God was doing was things like pardoning sins, delighting in mercy, saying things like, you're going to get rid of our sin and you're going to do it with faithfulness. See, Micah, as he waited in wonder, hung on to God, and as he hung on to God, he discovered characteristics of God that I don't think he would have discovered if he had not tried to hang on. Characteristics like faithfulness, mercy, unfailing love. As Micah waited and wrestled with God, he came to a conclusion as he wrestled with God that God's character was worthy of trust because God was doing things that he wouldn't have thought about before. You know, when you begin to wait in wonder, and when you begin to experience the character of God, you begin to take a look at a whole different set of virtues of God that you normally wouldn't think about. See, most of us like the virtues of God that sort of help us out, right? Omnipresent, omnipotent, loving, you know, able to give us stuff, able to heal us, able to take care of our problems. Those are all real virtues of God and great aspects of God's character. But sometimes as you wait and wonder, you appreciate different virtues. It's kind of akin to this. I read a great article in the magazine First Things. It talked about the need to remember that sometimes good enough is a good label for a marriage. They were talking about in the midst of a culture that sort of is dismissing marriage, sometimes we in the church elevate marriage so high that we eliminate good enough being good enough. Sometimes even when we don't get what we want, the fact that you can hang in there and appreciate your marriage for what it is requires a whole different set of virtues. And you know what those virtues are? Things like faithfulness, things like mercy, things like forgiveness. These were the very characteristics of God that Micah began to discover. And as he begins to discover them, he starts to say, who is like you, God? Who is like you? Ann Voskamp had a great quote. She said, sometimes the great things that heal us is doing a small thing again and again. And that's exactly what Micah discovered when he looked at the character of God in the midst of waiting and wondering. Who is like you, God? Who is like you, God? And the second question, I think, is just as significant, but less intently expressed by Micah, because I don't know that he fully understood the answer. See, Micah began to understand and see God's faithfulness, his mercy, his unfailing love. But I think one of the intuitive questions that Micah would have asked is, well, how can he be that way? Have you ever started to really think deeply about how difficult forgiveness is to pull off? Because when you have forgiveness, you're trying to juggle and hold on to two different things that seem very challenging to hold on to. On the one hand is acceptance. Like, if I forgive you, I'm going to accept you as you are. But on the other hand is justice. Like, if I let you go, you're going to get away with it. And that just doesn't seem right to me. And how is it that we can bring acceptance and justice together into this thing called forgiveness? And it's very difficult. When Micah began to ponder, who is like you, God, that forgives sins and does all that, you know, I think he probably was asking the question, like, what kind of God can pull this off? And what Micah didn't see is what we have the blessing to have been able to see. That God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to become sin for us. So God was able to both punish with justice and accept with grace at the same time. God was able to solve the forgiveness dilemma through the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And God, in a sense, answered the question that Micah was asking. Who is like this God? Jesus is. Jesus is. So why does this matter? Why does my little theological, philosophical diatribe this morning matter to you in the midst of this time and moment? Because I think what Micah wanted, and I think what you want as you're wrestling with the question, you know, will the Messiah ever come? Is that Micah wanted a different kind of knowledge, a different kind of answer to his question. See, I think there's two different kinds of answers to questions like this. The one kind of answer is you know about it. You know, you know about these concepts and these ideas of faithfulness and mercy and acceptance and holiness and righteousness. You know about them. You've been taught them. But there's a different kind of knowledge that I think emerges from the wrestling. And it's different than know about. It is you know because. You know because. You know because you have personally experienced it. I have, in my head, all Advent, I have had this, like, commercial in my head. Isn't that? What a shock, right? A commercial in my head. But this commercial is different. I think it's for an Apple product, but I don't know, all right? But what it is that for some reason, through some technological advancement, a woman who was previously deaf is for the first time hearing. And in the commercial, they say, like, you now are hearing for the first time sound. And she's got these earphones on. And the look on her face and the absolute wonder, and just she just breaks down in tears. Because here is somebody that for maybe for a long time through different means had known about hearing, right? She had known about it. But now she knows because she heard. And it's a whole different thing. I think what we long for when we wrestle with God, right? And we wonder, are you ever going to come? Why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you kind of more, you know, in front of me? It's because God wants us to know these characteristics of who he is, his faithfulness, his mercy, his forgiveness. He doesn't want you to just know about this conceptual God. He wants you to know him because he's been faithful to you, because he's been merciful to you, because he has accepted you, but accepted you with justice. He accepted you at the price of his own son. He doesn't want you to just know about. He wants you to know because. And when you know because, you wait in wonder. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this faithful prophet who years and years and years before you ever arrived waited in wonder. And now we stand here thousands of years after you've come, finding ourselves needing to do the same thing. Wait in wonder. Lord, help us to really ask the question, who is a God like you who's faithful, merciful, loving, and just? Fill our hearts with faith. May we await your coming with wonder and grace. In your name, amen.